Welcome to the podcast of Palmetto Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in. We pray that the following message will help you connect, grow, and serve in your relationship with God and others.
Thank you, Bo Hurd. Appreciate you, brother. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to invite you to open them with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. The book of Revelation, chapter 1. We're going to read the first 11 verses of the book of Revelation. And this message is a message that basically says, what shall we do? What should we do in a crisis such as the one in which we find ourselves? Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Well, we are all struggling right now. None of us have ever seen times like the times we are experiencing. These are uncharted times. These are unfamiliar times. These are uncertain times. These are scary times. When I myself have experienced times that were uncertain and that were uncharted and that were scary, I find that I need during those times three major things that I believe we all need when we go through struggles. First, we need a God who cares enough and who is powerful enough to deal with the situation in which we find ourselves, and we have that kind of God. Second, we need friends who understand our struggles. How many of us have ever been through a trial in our lives and have been helped by the simple listening ear of a trusted friend? And third, we need the assurance that everything's going to be all right in the end. There may be troubled waters getting from here to the end, but we need the assurance that everything will be all right in the end. These are three things that John, in writing to his readers who were separated from him by the Aegean Sea, These were things that John wanted to tell his readers, his listeners, in order to comfort them. As I have mentioned in the last several weeks, the book of Revelation describes a time of global upheaval, especially for Christians. The Roman Empire controlled most of the world. The Roman Emperor Domitian, ruling Rome during the last decade of the first century, believed that he was divine. He believed that he was God. And since he believed he was God, he required all of Roman citizens to worship him. He even sent a battalion of soldiers throughout the empire, and he equipped them with an image of himself. I don't know exactly how large that image was, but it was an image of Domitian, and they would take it to different cities. They would set it up in the courtyard of the town square, and they would line up the Roman citizens, and one by one, these folks were required to kneel before the statue of Domitian and utter the words, "Caesar is Lord." Any Christians who refused to do that were arrested, had their families separated from them, had their businesses, if they were business owners, taken away from them. Many of them were executed. These were some of the darkest times in the history of Christianity. And so John is writing to some Christian members of churches in the Roman Empire. People who are needing some answers, people who are needing some encouragement, people who have some questions that they want to ask. And the book of Revelation is John's answer as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to give these people answers. So many times when we study the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we look at it as though it only gives us a timeline for the end times. And while that may or may not be true, depending on your interpretation of it, I think there's more to the book of Revelation than a mere timeline for the end times. In fact, I think more than a timeline for the end times, the book of Revelation gives us guidelines for hard times. Hard times like what we are in today. The writer of the Revelation was a man named John. Many people believe this John was the Apostle John. If it was, then John is an old man. Because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, the Roman Empire arrested him and put him in prison, in an island prison on the small island of Patmos, located in the Aegean Sea between modern-day Greece and Turkey. And so when John is in that prison, he receives some sort of communication from people who were members of seven different churches of what was then Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And John read their correspondence, and he's writing back to them. They had questions. In particular, they were asking four specific questions that perhaps you and I have been asking during this time of a coronavirus crisis. They were asking, why is this happening to us, John? What is about to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? What is our future? Where is God in all this? And what should we do? In light of everything that's going on, and in light of what you tell us about God, what should we be doing? Now, granted, folks, you and I are not persecuted today in the same way that the Christians John was writing to were being persecuted. Granted, they weren't going through the same crisis we are. We're confronted by a virus that is an invisible enemy that is sweeping across the globe. For the people of John's day, the enemy was quite visible. It was the Roman Empire. But nonetheless, theirs was a crisis that seemed to be out of their control, just like ours is a crisis that seems to be out of our control. And so they were trying to grapple with their crisis, just like you and I are trying to grapple with this pandemic that we face. 2 weeks ago, we examined the first of the four questions that John's readers were asking him, and that was, where is God in our crisis? And we answered it with four answers that come straight out of Revelation. I'm not going to go back and break down all those verses, but basically John says this: where is God in this crisis? God is with us even when it seems like he isn't. And God is on the throne even when it looks like he isn't. And God holds our future in his mighty right hand, and nobody's going to take that future out of his hands. And then the fourth thing that he tells us in Revelation chapters 5 and 6 is that our future is most secure when we place our future in the hands of Jesus. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, we answered the second of four questions, and that question was, what is about to happen to us? This actually was the question that they needed the answers to the most. More than anything else, even more than where is God in this, they wanted the answers to what is about to happen to us. Isn't that exactly what we're thinking today, too? What is going to happen? How many people are going to die before this thing is through? How long is it going to last? What is the future? And John had answers to that question too. Throughout the book of Revelation, there are three bold answers that rise to the forefront in answer to the question, what is about to happen to us? And the first thing he says is that things are going to get worse. They're going to get worse before they get better. There were seven seals, and when the seven seals were opened in Revelation chapter 6, 7, and 8, 1/4 of the earth was impacted. Following the seals, there were trumpets. And as each trumpet was sounded, catastrophe struck the earth, and 1/3 of the earth was impacted. You move on into chapter 16, and there are seven bowls of wrath poured out on the earth, and 100% of the earth is impacted. So you go from 1/4 to 1/3 to a full 100% of the earth impacted. Things were getting worse, is what John was saying to his people. A few weeks ago, we said that things were more than likely going to get worse in our own crisis before they get better. And that has turned out to be true, and it's still true, that things are probably going to get a lot worse before they get better. But the second thing he tells them is that things will get better. And we have to hang our hopes on this truth. Things will get better. After all those series of sevens that unloaded a whole bunch of catastrophe upon the earth, you go to chapter 19, and all of a sudden there's this great crowd and their roaring chants of victory. Victory? From chapters 4 through 19, it looked like there was anything but victory. And yet in chapter 19, there's a huge victory chant. And the reason there's victory is because God has intervened, and he has brought about not defeat, not destruction, but victory and triumph. And so things will get better. And then the third thing we noted was that you can have a full life. Even in the midst of trial, even as the result of crisis, you and I can still have a full life. We can live the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10. We see this full life, a symbol of this full life in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, where the Bible says that John saw God on his throne, and in his right hand there was a scroll, a book. That book was the future of John's readers. And that scroll, unlike most scrolls that were written only on one side, was written on both sides, both the front and the back, and it was full of text, full of life, full of story, full of narrative. And it was God's way of saying through John, look, you may think that life is all over. You may think that you're done. You may think that you're going to just die a horrible death, and then it's going to be terrible after that. But he said, I want you to know your life still has text on both sides. You have a full life that you can live. Those are the questions we've dealt with so far. But now I want us to look at another of those four questions. And it is the question, what should we do? What should we do? John's readers they wanted to know about God, they wanted to know about the future, but they also wanted to know, John, what should we do? What can we do? We feel so helpless, so hopeless. We're trying to stay quarantined. They were staying quarantined, not because of a virus, but because they didn't want to be found out by the Roman Empire. What should we do? And John has some things he wants to say to them about what they should do during a time of crisis, and I believe these same answers are applicable for us. The first thing John tells them is, what should you do? First, you should remain faithful. Remain faithful. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, If you look at those chapters in your Bible, and if you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice that both of those chapters are filled with red text. In other words, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus is sending through John seven letters to seven churches, one letter to each of the respective churches. And he deals with some unique problems that are within each of those churches, and I'm not going to go into those at this point, but what I do want to mention is toward the end of each of those seven letters, there is a benediction that Jesus gives them, and each of those benedictions is almost synonymous with the rest of them. They're not exactly synonymous, but they're almost identical. So, for instance, the first letter is to the church at Ephesus. And in verse 7 of this first letter, Jesus says this. He says, "Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious." Some translations say, to the one who overcomes, or to the one who endures or perseveres to the end. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. To the one who's victorious. The second church is Smyrna. And in verse 11, toward the end of Jesus' letter to the church at Smyrna, he says, "Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious," there it is again, "the one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death." The third letter is to the church at Pergamum. And in verse 17, Jesus says this, "To the one who is victorious," there it is again, "I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it." The fourth letter is to the church at Thyatira, still in chapter 2, Thyatira. And verse 26, toward the end of that letter, says, "To the one who is victorious," there it is again, "to the one who overcomes, to the one who perseveres, and does my will to the end." The next letter is in chapter 3 to the church at Sardis. And in verse 5, toward the end of that letter, again he says, "The one who is victorious will be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life." The sixth church is Philadelphia, also in chapter 3. To the church in Philadelphia, verse 12, the latter part of that letter, he says, "To the one who is victorious, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." And finally, there's the church at Laodicea. It is the lukewarm church. Jesus makes a stunning description or proclamation about that church. He says, "You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm." And he says, "You make me want to spew you out of my mouth." The word in Greek is literally one that means you make me want to vomit. And yet, even to this church, he says, verse 21, "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne." Now, all of these benedictions, to the one who's victorious, the one who perseveres, the one who overcomes, the one who endures to the end, all of these are ways of saying to those who are faithful. So here they were going through the worst crisis in their lifetimes. They were asking John some questions, one of which was, "What should we do?" And the very first thing that John says to them is, "Be faithful. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your faith. Don't let up on your belief. Hang on to what you've got. Be faithful. Remain faithful." I would urge all of our people, within the sound of my voice, I know you're hurting. I know you're wondering. I know you're worried. I know you're praying. I know you're concerned. Let me just urge you, remain faithful. The second thing that John said is, stay connected. Stay connected. Now, this kind of sounds strange, because when John wrote this letter, the Revelation is one big old letter, and it's a letter that has within it at least seven other letters. But when he wrote in the last decade of the first century, think about this. There were no landline phones. There were no cell phones. There was no email. There was no Facebook. Therefore, there was no Facebook Messenger. There was no Instagram. There were no text messages. There was no TikTok. There was no Snapchat. There was nothing like that. They did have what we'd call snail mail. That is, they would write a letter and they would seal it up and they would send it by some sort of postal carrier. But if you think that our snail mail is slow, we ought to be able to go back in time and just try to time out how long it took for their mail to go. And yet, here's what I want you to get. They stayed connected. Here they are in this crisis. How does John know what they're going through? Because they've written to him to let him know, hey, this is what's happening where we are. We know that you're in prison, and so these things are happening to you too. Here are our questions. Please give us some answers. Please give us some encouragement. And so what does John do? He's inspired by God to write this letter, the book of Revelation, back to them. And within this letter, Jesus writes seven more letters. They're connecting. They're communicating. They're corresponding. Just imagine if they'd had Facebook and email and text message and Instagram and Snapchat and all this kind of stuff. There'd be just all kinds of communication going back and forth. John says in verse 4, he says, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. This is a letter. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Folks, you and I today are so blessed with advanced technologies. Yeah, we still have snail mail. Yes, a few of us still have landlines, but we have cell phones. And we have all the different ways, the social media ways that we can communicate with each other. We can FaceTime. Let me tell you, probably I'm not going to be able to go physically see my grandbabies for I don't know how long. I'm so thankful for FaceTime during a time like this. I saw my Bellamy and my Avalon just before I came here. Was able to talk with them on FaceTime. Listen, here's the point. Stay connected. Reach out to your family. Stay connected to your friends. Check in on your church family. If you know somebody who lives alone, or maybe they're a senior citizen, or maybe there's someone who's divorced, widow or widower, someone who seems to have no friends, check on that person. Just a little showing that we care about somebody else can go so, so far. Stay connected. So remain faithful, stay connected. And then the third thing John tells these people is clear out the clutter. Clear out the clutter. You know, one of the things I really hate about this whole quarantine mess is that now that I'm having to stay at the house, my wonderful and beautiful wife, Amanda, has triple the size of that honey-do list. And all of a sudden, she wants me to help her clean out all kinds of clutter around the house and clean out all this clutter around the yard. We've been having to pull weeds, and we've been having to set up traps for armadillos and all kinds of other things, try to get rid of all the critters. Well, this is a time, for those of us who know the Lord, this is a time for us to clear out the spiritual clutter in our lives. I told you that one of the questions these people were asking John is, what is about to happen to us? And I said that was the most important question to them that they asked John. John doesn't start answering that question until Revelation chapter 6. Why does he wait? One of the reasons is, for John, there was something that these people needed to hear that was far more urgent than what was about to happen to them. And so instead of going straight to telling them what their future was going to be, he goes to chapters 2 and 3, where he goes one letter for each church. And in each letter, he says, here are some things that you need to take care of, because if you don't take care of these things, you're not going to be prepared for whatever comes. And so he's telling me, you need to clear out the clutter. For some of them, it was a loss of passion. In fact, the very first letter, Ephesus, he says, look, I see your work, I see your heart, but he says, you have this against you. He says, you have lost your first love. What he means by that is you've lost your passion. Listen, when Christianity, when faith becomes just another check off the old list of to-do list, when worship becomes just a matter of going through the motions, when there's no passion, when there's no enthusiasm, when there's no excitement, when the Holy Spirit is left outside the door, you say, well, how can that happen? I'll tell you, it does happen. In fact, the last church, Laodicea, Jesus comes up to him and he's knocking on the door. He says, behold, I stand outside the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come into him. You know, we look at that and we think, well, that's Jesus knocking on the door of a person's heart. And we could probably apply it that way. But I want you to understand that Laodicea was in such bad shape that Jesus, the head of the church, felt like a visitor at his own house. Felt like he had to knock to come in. Do you have to knock to get into your own house? Jesus shouldn't have to. During this time, we need to remain faithful. We need to stay committed, stay connected, and we need to clear out the clutter that keeps us from a right relationship, right fellowship with God. Number four, John told them, he says, you need to listen to the right information. Listen to the right information. In John's day, there was a lot of information going around. One of the pieces of information, this is going to sound really crazy, but this was going around in the last decade of the first century. It was going around that Christians were cannibals. That Christians were people who ate other people, killed and ate other people. Well, as you can imagine, people who heard that and believed it thought that Christians were repulsive, that Christianity was repulsive. But as you know, that was a total misunderstanding. They got it from Jesus' words where he's teaching his disciples about the Lord's Supper on when he institutes the Lord's Supper and he broke bread and he says, here, take and eat. This bread is my body broken for you. And then he took the wine and he gave it to them. He says, this is my blood which was shed for you. All of you need to drink it. And Jesus was speaking in symbolic terms. But the people in Rome started spreading around that Christians were cannibals. It wasn't true. It was misinformation. It was fake news. I already mentioned that the Roman Emperor Domitian was telling everybody that he himself was God. And most people in the Roman Empire believed it. And many people who didn't believe it still submitted to it because they wanted to live. But it was still not true. Folks, you and I live in a very similar type day. In our current crisis, there's a lot of misinformation that's been going around. And so at a time like this, truth matters more than any other time. We need to be paying attention to the right information. Our lives, many of our lives, depend on paying attention to the right information. There are people who have died of this coronavirus, who, had they paid attention to the right information, might be alive today. I'm thankful that unlike in John's day, where you could not trust the leader, you couldn't trust Domitian if he was to say anything. You couldn't trust the Roman leaders besides Domitian. They were all telling things that weren't true. I'm thankful that at least in America, while we may not agree with everything our leaders may say and do, I truly believe that the leaders of our country and the leaders of our state and the leaders of our counties and the leaders of our cities, they desire that this thing go away. They desire that people live and survive. Whenever I look to experts like the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health and the World Health Organization and Dr. Fauci of the National Institute of Allergies and Infections, I hear these people telling us what we need to do. I believe them because I believe that they speak with authority. So what are we to do? Folks, let's remain faithful to God. He's our only hope. Folks, let's stay connected to each other. We need each other more than at any other time in the history of in our lifetime. Let's clear out the clutter. I know that you who are listening to this message, you have something in your own life that could do cleaning out. I know I do. Let's get it out so that we'll be most prepared for whatever is coming. And let's listen to the right information. Don't just listen to people who tell you what you want to hear. Listen to people who have the authority to speak to you the truth because they love you enough to tell you the truth. They're the only real friends you got anyway, those who love you enough to tell the truth. Well, let's hang together, folks. Let me close by saying I'm so thankful that we have in the Word of God a message that is pertinent to what we're going through. Did you know that every single book of the New Testament was written in response to some national or major global crisis? That's why the Bible has something to say to us at a time like this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for having a word for us. Lord, when we need you most, you're not silent. You're not a God who's absent. You're not AWOL. You're very much present. The psalmist was right. My God is a very present help in time of trouble. And Lord, I thank you for the help that you are to us right now. Help our church. Help our communities. Help our nation and help this world in which we live. Lord, help us to see you in spite of this crisis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.